You will take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The children may be dismissed to children's church. No? Okay. The children are staying with us. All right. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. If you would stand with me in honor of God's word, we're going to be reading beginning in verse 41. Luke 2, verse 41. Of course, last week we looked at the Christmas announcement, and we celebrated the Lord's birth. You may have noticed this morning we sung We Three Kings, because even though we often put them there at the manger, most likely the wise men were coming sometime later. We don't know how long later, but there was a reason Herod wanted to kill every baby under 2 years old. But now we're skipping ahead. We're skipping 12 years ahead this morning. We're going to look this morning at Jesus when he's 12 years old. Look with me in verse 41, Luke 2, verse 41. The Bible says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days of seeking him, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." He said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come before you now and we thank you again for your word. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for his life. And we thank you that he manifests your truth to us. Lord, I pray this morning you would take your word, you enable me to preach it by your Holy Spirit, and that by your Holy Spirit you would quicken it to our hearts. Lord, may we grow through your word. Even as Jesus grew, may we grow in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be looking this morning at a time for growth. It's New Year's. We look back. We give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done, but we also look forward. This being the last day of the year, we look forward to what the Lord has in store in the coming year. And I think this passage is a fitting one, but I want you to kind of think on it. You're familiar with this. Most of you here in this room have been in church most of your life. And so you're familiar with this passage. You probably heard this in Sunday school as a little boy or girl, about Jesus being left in the temple. But think with me, kind of get in the mindset with me. Here's Jesus, and he stays behind. His parents go. They're traveling back. First of all, I want you to notice the Bible says that his parents went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover, for the feast of the Passover. They were required, the Jewish law required that all the men were to come together every year for three particular feasts, and the Passover was one of them. They were to gather at Jerusalem and to worship. And so Jesus' parents, although they lived in Nazareth in the north of Israel, they made that journey every year. And it seemingly they took their children with them. At least this year they took Jesus with them. And so what you see here is that as Jesus is being raised, his parents are being diligent to keep him in God's house, right? To go where the law has required them to go, But not just because the law requires it, but they've got this attitude of they want to worship the Lord. They're being diligent to keep their son that God's entrusted to them in God's house. But secondly, notice that as Jesus is left there, he lingers in the house. And if you're a parent, you've had this feeling before where you look around and you suddenly realize one of them's missing. They're not there. I remember being at Osage. We lived in the parsonage right next door to the church, and on more than one occasion, after a Sunday morning service, I'd look out, everybody's left, and you kind of walk through, and there'd be a little boy that was left. It was two different little boys. It wasn't the same boy both times, but but on two different occasions, I'd look out, and there's a little boy about, 6 years old. He's left there. His parents had come in separate cars, and now they've gone, and he's left there, and he's kind of wondering. He'd been playing, having a great time, and he looks around, and he realizes the parking lot's empty, and I'm here still. Of course, both parents, you know what happened? They thought, well, she's got him, and she thought, well, he's got him, and they get home, and so it was always fun to say, well, pile in the car, and we go driving down the road, and there they are. And one occasion, I remember we pulled up. They were even getting ready to sit down to eat, I think, and still hadn't realized that he wasn't there. I said, go knock on the door, see if they... And they came to the door, and where have you been? They didn't realize he was there. So you say, well, how in the world did Mary and Joseph lose their son? Well, they have more children. They had at least a couple more brothers of Jesus and some sisters as well. So you can imagine, as they're getting their brood together, they're heading back to make the journey. Somebody's missing. They figure, well, he's old enough. He's with the relatives. They traveled in caravans, and he's with the relatives. Now, we've never lost our children, but actually just the other day at Christmas, the kids were scattered around my in-law's house, and, every once in a while you say, where's so-and-so? Well, Isaiah wasn't... We couldn't find Isaiah for a moment, and finally, my mother-in-law heard a little voice, Gaga, Gaga, and she's like, where is that coming from? And she walks by the closet under the stairs and opens the door, and there he is in the closet. He'd gone in the closet exploring, shut the door, and couldn't figure out how to get back out. It happens, but every time it does, it strikes terror in your heart. So when they get back to Jerusalem and they're searching, can you imagine, for 3 days for Jesus? 3 days wondering, where is our son? What went through Mary's mind at that point? Here, God's entrusted me with his son, and I've lost him? I've lost his son? What am I going to do now? In the terror. And finally, she comes. And they come to the temple, and they find him there, and that word there, where she's saying, what is this you've done to us? What that word is, she says, what is this that you've done to us? Your father and I have sought you anxiously. It's not just like, oh, we were worried about you. She's saying, we were tormented. We were tormented. We were in such worry over what's happened to Jesus. Now, can you imagine? Here's Mary. She knows what the angels have proclaimed. He's 12 years old. 12 years have gone by, and she's watched him grow up. She knows he's different from the other children. Can you imagine Jesus? Can you imagine being a younger sibling of Jesus and being raised with somebody who's perfect, and you're not? and so always being compared to that standard. And here's Jesus, and he's in the temple, and she's tormented because she's worried, what have we done? We've left him, but also he's the only hope. She knows this. He's the hope of the world. That's been proclaimed to her. He's the Son of the Most High. She knows it personally. And now, where is Jesus? And finally, she finds him in the temple, where he must be. You see, she was worried, but in a way, This demonstrated that I don't know how you would parent God's child. But that special role that God had called her to fulfill, she was doing rightly. You see, he says, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" If he was going to be lost anywhere, he was going to be lost in the Lord's work. That's where Jesus was. And so they finally find him, and they come. And our key passage this morning, that sets the stage, but our key passage this morning is verse 52. Let's read that again. The Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." I want to give you three things. The Bible gives us three things here that Jesus increased in. And I would say that as we look to the new year, that all of us should say, "Lord, may I grow in these areas as well. Lord, would you show me your will for me in these areas? And how can I grow in these three areas?" That's the message this morning. But first of all, just the stark surprise here. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Son of God grew? First of all, it says he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. He grew mentally. Write down the words, "he grew mentally." How in the world does the Son of God, the one who is wisdom in person, the one who formed all things with his hands and by his word, the scripture says that he is the wisdom of God, Paul said. How then did he grow in wisdom? You realize that's a stunning statement, that Jesus grew and increased. The word means that he made progress. How does one who's perfect grow in anything? He's infinite. Well, what this shows is not only is he the Son of God, as has been proclaimed earlier in the very chapter, that he's the Son of the Most High, but it also shows that he is fully human. You see, Jesus grew and was able to grow in wisdom because he was fully identified with you and me. In his humanity, he grew in wisdom. That's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? But at 12 years old, he was still learning. That's what the scripture says. Yes, he possessed all divinity, but the Bible says he had humbled himself and robed himself in flesh. As a baby, he didn't come born into the world and speaking as a child. No, he learned to speak from a newborn. He was raised, and he probably spoke at about the same age that children normally speak. I'm sure Mary and Joseph put him in whatever school they had, and Joseph did his best to teach him the trade that he was learning. He was called a carpenter after all, right? Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, I would submit to you that if the perfect Son of God, the Bible says, grew, progressed in wisdom, do any of us ever come to a place where we don't need to grow in wisdom? Absolutely not. No matter what age we are, if Jesus was growing in these things, then we should say, I need to grow in those things too. Right? Can I get an amen? All right. Well, what does it mean that he grew in wisdom? Wisdom, in his humanity, he grew in wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge in right relationship with God and his ways. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. You can turn there if you want, but keep your place here in Luke. But the Bible says in Proverbs 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase in learning." So a wise man can learn more, right? The fear of the Lord. What's the foundation of wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is right understanding. In other words, as Jesus grew and he experienced more in his life around him, he did so in the context of knowing how everything around him related to his relationship with the Father. Do you realize that God has called us to grow in wisdom, to use our minds for his glory, whatever mental capacity he's given us, to use it for his glory, and to recognize that the things around us that we're called to learn and to explore, we're to do so with an understanding of how they relate to God and to his will and purpose in our life. That's what wisdom is. It's seeing life with the understanding of the fear of the Lord, that God is over all, that he has all knowledge. He's the possessor of everything, and anything that he gives me and allows me to do, I'm to do for his glory. What has God called you to grow in wisdom this year? Maybe there's something in your life that you've had a desire placed by the Lord to grow in understanding of. Maybe there's an area that you feel like I need to get a little more understanding of that. I need to learn more about that particular area. Maybe it relates to your work. Maybe it relates to the scripture. Maybe it relates to some other field at home. The scripture says that Jesus grew in wisdom. I would submit to you, say, Father, help me to grow in understanding and wisdom of your ways and your will for my life in this particular area. I believe it was Einstein that said that when you stop learning, you die. God calls us to continue to learn and to grow, but to do so in relation to his word. There is a worldly wisdom. The Bible says the wisdom that's from the world is earthly, spiritual, unspiritual, demonic. It's full of jealousy, selfish ambition, and with it comes disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. And it sowed, and then it reaps a righteous harvest. Are you growing in wisdom? I hope so this year. Say, Lord, what would you have for me to learn more of this coming year? I could tell you one thing right off the bat. He would have you to learn more of his word. He'd have you to learn more of who he is. Well, secondly, the Bible says that he not only increased in wisdom, he also increased in stature. Now, you may say, well, yeah, that just means he's they lined him up there on the wall and they placed that mark on his head height and he got taller as the year went by, right? Well, that does mean that. You'd be right. But that's not all that this word means. To grow in stature means to also grow into maturity in relation to your age. Now, all of us have met people who grow in stature, but they don't necessarily act their age. If you know somebody that is a certain age, but they seem to not quite act that age all the time, they may possess a knowledge about certain things, but they don't act in accordance with that knowledge. You see, you can grow in knowledge and understanding, but not grow in how to apply it. You've heard of somebody that maybe is they've got a lot of learning, a ton of learning, but not a lick of sense. They don't know how to apply it in their life. Well, a few years ago, I was working with a boy. Ronnie, you'll like this. We were working, when I was working at the boys' ranch, we were building a lodge, and we would work under different guys, and a friend of mine and I, we were training under a HVAC guy, and he came, and he supervised everything. He'd bring us the unit. He did all, we ran the hoses. He checked it, and not the hoses, but the pipe. He checked it, and we ran the duct work. And there were five units in this lodge we had to put together. And the ones in the basement we had to build platforms for. This is going somewhere, folks. Stick with me, okay? Well, there's another guy, and he trained under a plumber. Now, he was just an apprentice. And he would come behind us and hook up the drain lines for the AC units. Now, if you know anything about AC, you usually have a heater and an AC coil, and they usually come separately. You have to put them together. Well, my friend Joe and I, we ran downstairs, and we had gotten, he brought all five units at once, And so we put them in the various places. We built the platform, and we stuck it over here, and we just put the units in there. They were kind of catty-corner. They weren't connected. We were going to hook them up later, and we worked on the units one by one, getting them all hooked up, getting the lines run, getting all the ductwork run and hooked up to the boots, and so that we'd have, you know, we were trying to do as good a job, and then he'd come back and inspect. Well, we got to the last unit, and we were excited to try to hook this thing up, and we stepped in, and we looked at the platform, and here's this unit turned this way, and the top, the AC coil, is turned over here, set over here on the platform. They're not hooked together, and sticking up right in the middle, punched through that platform floor, were two pipes for a drain line. You see, the plumber assistant, the young man that was learning to do that, this was his last one too, and he had learned all this stuff, and he was eager, and he knew how to do this. And before anything was set, he came and he punched those pipes through, and we called him. We said, "This ain't gonna work." He said, "Well, why not? Why can't you run around?" "Well, you stuck it right where I need to put the unit. That's the only place it can go. You're supposed to wait until we have the unit set, and then you hook up the line." See, he got ahead of himself. You say, what's all that mean? Well, he had a lot of knowledge, but he didn't know the right time or the right place to apply that knowledge. The maturity was not yet there. You know what I'm talking about, Ronnie? The maturity was not yet there. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul was talking to a bunch of people that had a lot of knowledge about a specific fact, but they didn't have love to go along with it, so they didn't know how to use the knowledge that they had. And he said this, "If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know it as he should know it," because they didn't have love to go along with it. You see, growing in stature is not just growing physically, it's growing in maturity. It's saying, knowing how to apply the knowledge that's been given. And when the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom, he also grew in stature at the same time. He knew exactly how to apply that which he had learned. You and I need that same maturity, don't we? We can learn a lot of things and fill our minds with things, but if we don't put it into practice, what good is it? That's where James says, faith without works is dead. Oh, it's faith that saves us. We're saved by not by our work. But if it's just a faith that's never exhibited, if it's not a faith that works, what good is that faith? James says. Well, Jesus grew in wisdom, he grew in stature, and he demonstrated this maturity in verse 51, where he knew what he was supposed to be about. He knew what God had called him to do here on earth, that he had been sent here, and by 12 years old, he knew his purpose. It was to be in his Father's house, to proclaim his Father's word, and then to die on behalf of the people, you and I. Well, he knew his purpose, but in maturity he realized it was not yet time. You see this in verse 51. He says he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject, was submissive to Joseph and Mary. Can you imagine the humility of the Son of God? By age 12, he knew exactly why he had come. And yet, he who formed all things, he who gave life to Adam, submitted to Joseph and Mary. He learned by maturity to wait and be submissive for the proper time and the proper place to do what God had called him to do. That's not easy, is it? But we have Jesus' example for us. Are you learning to wait on the Lord? To wait for His timing and His purpose? Well, finally, Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature, but He also grew in grace. He grew in favor with God and with men. That's the word grace. Grace is God's favor. God's, for us, unmerited favor. For Jesus, everything's merited, but for us, it's unmerited. Jesus matured spiritually. He grew in relationship with the Father. And this is illustrated by the fact that you think about His birth. Who announced His birth? Who proclaimed to all the world that the King had come and that He had been born there and He's in a manger in swaddling clothes? Who proclaimed it? The angels. Gabriel announced it, and the angels came and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." But who announced His ministry? It was not the angels. There at the Jordan River, some years later, Jesus goes down, He's baptized by John, and when He comes up out of the water, who proclaims this one? The Father. He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." At His birth, it was the angels who announced it, but at the beginning of His ministry, it was the Father who proclaimed it. Later, on the Mount of Transfiguration, He does the same thing, and He tells the disciples, "Not only is He my beloved Son, but you listen to Him." You listen to Him. So, Jesus grew, and in His humanity, He grew in relationship to the Father. Oh, He was always one with the Father, always co-equal, but in His humanity, He grew in that relationship and in that walk. He grew to walk day by day. The Bible says He rose early in the morning and went to seek the Lord in prayer, seek the Father in prayer. You see, the Christian life, Jesus gives us an illustration here. It's a continual growing in Him. None of us have yet arrived, have we? That's why Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Increasingly, Jesus was being made more and more proclaimed. Others were seeing more and more through Him that He truly is the Son of God. And the question for you and for I is, increasingly, do others see through us that we are the children of God as well? Do they see Jesus in us? Are we growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord? He also grew in relationship to other people, finding favor with others. I want to close this morning by asking you to say, "Lord, in this coming year, what areas would you have me to learn more about? What areas do I need to stretch my mind maybe a little bit? What areas do I need to explore a little bit in the coming year and increase my understanding of? Because really, if I'm honest with myself, I may think I know everything, but I certainly don't." What areas do I need to increase in learning? But secondly, what areas do I need to increase, Lord, in maturity? What areas am I not showing the maturity that I should for my age? And finally, Lord, what areas do I need to grow in my relationship with You? You see, He gives those three things: mentally, physically, spiritually. And He says that about Jesus at age 12. I think for an encouragement for you and for me, that if Jesus needed to grow and did grow, not that He was imperfect in any way, don't get me wrong, but in His humanity, He grew, the Bible says. If He did, then you and I certainly need to grow as well. So we close this year and we look forward to the next one. I want to encourage you to do that. Say, "Lord, how would You have me to grow? What would you have me to learn? What would you have me to grow in maturity about in my walk? And finally, in what ways do I need to grow closer to you?